The Song of Solomon, the chapter 5, their subject today is My Lovely Lord. And our text is that verse 9. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, and verse 9. The daughters of Jerusalem, they speak to the bride or to the Shulamite. In verse 9, they say, "What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us?" When seeking to engage someone in a conversation about their soul and about the Savior, it can, at times, be most difficult. The difficulty arises when the person that we are addressing shows no interest in what we have to say about the need of their soul and about the Lord Jesus. Rather, when we seek to tell them about Christ and that he came into the world to save sinners, often their reply is, "Well, I'm not interested." When we seek to tell them that Christ came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost, often the reply is, "Well, what is that to me?" Again, when we seek to tell them about the Savior's death on Mount Calvary and how he died there for sinners, their reply often is, "Let me alone. I will just live my own life." And when we try to tell them what the Savior means to us and what he has done for us, they will often reply, "Well, I'm not interested. You can keep your religion." How often have we heard and received those replies from people we've sought to speak to about the Lord? They're not wanting to talk about the things of God and the need of their soul. But we're not interested in talking about religion. Hundreds of religions in the world. We're not interested in talking about religion. But we are interested in talking about our Redeemer. All of this can be very discouraging when we know of individuals who need the Lord. They need to be saved. They're only a heartbeat away from a lost eternity. David said, "There is but a step between me and death." And so many people are not ready for that hour. They're not ready for the hour of their death. And if they were to die as they are, the demons of hell would carry their soul off to a lost eternity. But then, every now and then, we will meet with someone who shows a genuine interest in what we have to say about the Lord. Such individuals are typified for us here in our text this morning in that verse 9. The bride has gone out into the streets of Jerusalem seeking for her beloved. She has met the daughters of Jerusalem And she said to them, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. The daughters of Jerusalem then reply. In as many words, they say, well, if you want us to seek your beloved, what is it that's about him that you want us to seek him? They say to her, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? Why do you want us to seek your beloved? What is it that is special about him? And how often we would love to meet with people like that. When we talk to them about the Lord, they want to know more. And they want to know what is special about our beloved, of course, being the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'd love to have people say to us, well, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? What is it that's about your beloved that makes him so special? Well, that was put to the bride here in the Song of Solomon, and she wasted no time in responding. Because in verse 10 she begins, my beloved is. This is what he is. It's not what she hoped him to be. It's not what she wished he would be. No, she's able to say, my beloved is. And that's what we want to look at today. She readily answered the daughters of Jerusalem, glad of the opportunity to speak about her beloved and tell them what her beloved meant to her. And in the course of the message this morning, we'll be doing the same. I'll be telling you what my beloved means to me and why you should seek him as well and why you should look to him and say with the bride or with the daughters of Jerusalem, what is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? Why do you want us to seek him as well? We notice here, first of all, the bride was asked about her beloved. The bride had spoken to the daughters of Jerusalem about her beloved, and they responded, first of all, with a challenge. They challenged her. They said to her, well, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? What is it that's special about him? What is it that is different about him? So they challenged her. If she wanted them to seek him, if she wanted them to seek her beloved, then she must be ready to give an answer and to tell them what her beloved meant to her. So they challenge her with those words in the verse 9. Likewise, when you and I are challenged by some unsaved soul, and we're challenged as to why we are Christians, why we follow Christ, why we love him, why we live for him, why we endeavor to labor for him, well, we need to be ready to give an answer. Just as Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer. To every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Well, Christ is our hope. And Peter says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. So whenever we're asked, well, what does the Lord mean to you? Why do you want me to be saved? Why do you want me to seek the Lord? We need to be ready with an answer. And when we are challenged about the hope that we have, Peter says we need to be ready with an answer. The daughters of Jerusalem ask, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? In other words, they were asking her what he meant to her. What the beloved meant to her, and why he meant more to her than anybody else. And what would we say? What would our answer be then? Would we be ready to say, in the words of the hymn writer, well, he is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave his life for me. He made everything new. He is my everything. Now, how about you? As well as the challenge, we have the cause. The daughters of Jerusalem wanted to know why the bride believed her beloved was more than another beloved. And if the same question is put to us as to why we think so much of Christ and why we put him above everybody else, what will be our answer? We want to tell them why we talk about him so much, why we want to tell others about him. Yea, what is the cause of this? Why is he special to us? What's the cause? What's the reason? If asked that question, we might say, well, where do I begin? Somebody asks you about Christ, you say, well, where do I begin? There's so much to say about him. Well, we can begin by saying, we know our beloved is greater than any other beloved because of his love. It's a good place to start, isn't it? Because of his love. Throughout the Song of Solomon, the bride spoke about her love for her beloved and his love for her. And when we think of our beloved, namely Christ, what do we think about? We think about his love. That's what makes him special to us. We can tell anyone who cares to listen, my beloved loved me, and he gave himself for me. My beloved loved me and he gave himself for me, Galatians 2 and 20. He gave himself for me. That's how much he loved me. He loved me so much that he laid down his life for me. That's what makes him special. Because greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The Lord Jesus said that himself in John 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this. Greater love hath no man than this. Doesn't that put him above everybody else then? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Well, that's what Christ did. That proves his love. That sets him apart from all others. That makes him special. That makes our beloved more than another beloved, does it not? Because who else? Of all the friends we have in this world, how many of them would lay down their lives for us? How many would be prepared to die for us? Well, Christ was, and Christ did. He loved me. He gave himself for me. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? He loves me like no one else. As well as his love, we have his loyalty. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? We can speak of his loyalty. We can tell anyone who inquires as to why we hold our beloved in such high regard. Because he not only made me his own, but he has promised he will never leave me. There you have his loyalty. I will never leave thee. In other words, any person who receives Christ as Savior, they have a friend for time and for eternity. They have a companion who will walk beside them every step of their earthly journey. And when it comes to the crossing over of Jordan and going down into the valley, he'll be there as well. The unsaved can't say that. If you're unsaved here this morning, you cannot say that. When death comes to you, you'll enter that valley alone. But the person who knows the Lord will be able to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When a young man and young woman stand on their wedding day before the minister, and they make their vows before the minister, before the congregation, and before God, they vow to love one another till death do us part. And that's good. But you know, whenever we love Christ and he loves us, not even death will part us. Because in death, the Lord will still be there. That's how loyal he is. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Those words mean, I will never, no, never, no, never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now you couldn't beat that. I will never, no, never, no, never leave thee. And he has also promised, lo, I am with you always. I am with you always. And even if we asked him, how long will that be? Do you know what he'll answer? He'll say, I am with thee always, even unto the end of the world. He'll never leave us. That's why our beloved is more than any other beloved. He loves us more than anyone. He's more loyal than anyone. You think of not only his love and his loyalty, but his leading. You see, whenever the Lord becomes our beloved, and the Lord saves us and makes us his own, and he becomes our Savior, he doesn't just leave us then to struggle through life on our own. Not at all. Rather, he leads us through life. How can we avoid the pitfalls and the snares that we encounter in life if we didn't and were not able to rely upon our beloved to lead us safely through this minefield, as it were? The psalmist said, he led them forth by the right way. It's always good to know that when you have Christ as your Savior, he will always lead you by the right way. He will always give you the right instruction. He will always give you the right advice. When we were students and we needed some advice, we'll go to some of our senior ministers and ask their advice. They had the experience. Well, whenever we need to know the way, we can go to Christ and he will always lead us the right way and give us the right advice and give us the right counsel. Isn't that what his name is? He is our counselor. He is our mighty God. And to Israel, he led them forth by the right way. And again, David says in the Psalm 139, verse 10, even there shall thy hand lead me. See, the Lord takes us by the hand. You have seen a parent take a young child by the hand, maybe gone through a store or in the midst of a large number of people. And they take the child by the hand and they lead the child safely through that crowd and to the place of safety. That's what the Lord does with us. That's what my lovely Lord has done for me. Taken me by the hand. He has led me all the way. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? We can reply, he has loved us, he has been loyal to us, and he has led us all the way, all the way. As well as the challenge, as well as the cause, we also have the charge. Here the bride charges the daughters of Jerusalem to seek her beloved in verse 9. The word charge is a very strong word because she says, What are they said? What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? Why? Why do you want us to seek your beloved? What is it that's about him that you want us to seek him? You may say that to me this morning. What is it about Christ that you want us to seek him? That's the charge. Well, as we said here, we have a word that is a very strong word. It's as if the bride is saying to the daughters of Jerusalem, will you promise me? Will you promise that you will seek him? Will you put hand and heart, as it were, and tell me, yes, I will seek him? She's really pressing the daughters of Jerusalem to seek her beloved because he is to her more than any other beloved. Just as the prophet said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The Lord may not always be near. You recall when the Lord went to the land of Gadara and he healed the man that was called Legion. And when he cast the evil spirits into the swine, and the swine ran down the hill headlong into the sea, the townspeople came out to see what had happened. And you know what they did? They prayed him to depart. They wanted him to depart. He was near for a while he dealt with Legion. He was there in their midst. He was there amongst them. And then they wanted him to leave. Well, he did leave. And I'll tell you something else. He did leave and he never went back again. For we only read of Christ going to the land of Gadara once. He had crossed over Galilee with his disciples, went through a storm to reach Gadara and there to deliver Legion. And when the townspeople said, we want you to leave, he left and he never went back. He never went back. Call ye upon him while he is near. If we continually, if sinners continually resist the Lord and stand against him, the Lord may depart, never to return to you, never to speak to you ever again. You know, when the Lord speaks to you about your soul and about salvation, you should not shun the Lord's speaking voice. Because if you shun that voice for you may be silent forever and yet never speak again. Seek, the Lord said, ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first. Not something that you put off and say it doesn't really matter or think about it later. No, seek ye first. Because there may not be a later. As someone said, tomorrow is a date on a calendar that never comes. Today you speak about tomorrow. When Monday comes, you'll be speaking about tomorrow. It's always out of reach. And the devil would say to you, well, wait until tomorrow. Wait until you're older. Wait until you have a more convenient time. Like Felix, that day never came. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? May I charge you today and say, will you seek the Lord? Will you seek the beloved? Will you seek Christ? Promise me you will. And call upon him while he is near. So the bride was asked about her beloved. Then we notice something else. The bride was acquainted with her beloved. For you see, the better acquainted we are with our beloved, namely Christ, the better equipped we will be to answer anyone who inquires after him. And regarding the bride and her reply to the daughters of Jerusalem, we notice she was most definite about him. What the bride said in response, she was definite. There were no ifs or buts or anything else. As we've already pointed out, see how she begins her description of her beloved in verse 10. She says, my beloved is. That's definite. This is what he is. Peter was certainly definite about what he believed regarding Christ. For in John 6 and verse 69, Peter said, we believe and are sure. Boy, don't you like those words? We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe and are sure. It's good to believe and to be sure. You ask some people, well, are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. But that's no good. You cannot build for eternity on a hope so. You need to be dead on sure. As Peter said, we believe and are sure. Need to be sure. Need to be sure where you're going. You need to be sure where your soul will be when you leave this scene of time. And that day is coming. Can't avoid it. You can't run away from it. It'll catch up with you. So you need to be sure. So when we speak about Christ, we want to be able to speak with authority. With authority and be definite. We want to be able to say, my beloved is. What is he? My beloved is good. My beloved is gracious. My beloved is gentle. My beloved is generous. My beloved is great. He's a great Savior. You can count up the years yourself. But I have known the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior since the 5th of May, 1969. 69. And I can say, my beloved is. I am definite about it. My beloved is loving. My beloved is kind. My beloved is faithful. My beloved keeps me. My beloved walks with me. And with the bride, we ought to be able to say with great assurance, my beloved is the fairest of 10,000. Yes, we will say, take the world, but give me Jesus. Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name. But his love abideth ever, through eternal years the same. Oh, the height and depth of mercy. Oh, the length and breadth of love. Oh, the fullness of redemption. Pledge of endless life above. Pledge of endless life above. Not below. For that's where hell is. It is below. Now you need to make sure. You need to be definite about this matter regarding your soul. You need to be definite about it. Definite about where you stand with God. And make sure that you are in Christ. She was definite. We notice also her description. The bride begins, my beloved is. And from verse 10 to the verse 16, she describes her beloved. Now, whenever you look at the words in those verses, you might say, well, that's a strange way to describe anyone. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. And so forth. And you might say, that's a strange way to describe someone. I remember someone saying, or maybe it might even have been a preacher, who preached on these verses. And he said, here is a picture that no artist can paint. Here is a picture that no artist can paint. And you're asked, or I'm asked, what is my beloved more than another beloved? In other words, what does Christ mean to me? Well, we've already covered some of that area. His grace, his goodness, his gentleness. But how do we describe him? Who the bride says is all together lovely. How do we put into words our description of Christ? Remember, this is the Song of Solomon. And Solomon was the wisest of all men, apart from Christ, of course. Solomon was the wisest of all men. And Solomon found it difficult to put into words and to describe the loveliness of Christ. And that's what we have here. We said that the bride was intimate with her beloved. And that's very evident here. Because what does she speak about? She says, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. She speaks about his head, his locks, his eyes, his cheeks, his lips, his hands, his belly, his legs, his countenance, his mouth. Does that not speak to us of someone who's intimate with their beloved? Well, she certainly was. And so it behoves us, Christian, to be intimate with our beloved, to be intimate with Christ, that we should endeavor to know him, to know our beloved in a deeper and in a fuller way. We often quote the words of the Apostle Paul from his letter to the church at Philippi. When Paul wrote that letter, Paul was in prison. He was an old man by that time. He was the aged apostle. His course in life had almost been run. He hadn't much time left. And yet what was Paul's prayer as an old and aged missionary? Paul's prayer was that I might know him. He came to know him on the road to Damascus. And here is Paul near the end of his life, and he's saying that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. In other words, what Paul was praying, he knew the Lord from that day, met the Lord on the road to Damascus. He was saved then. And at near the end of his life, he's still praying, I want to know the Lord in a more intimate way. Deeper, fuller way. That's a message for us, dear Christian. We should want to know the Lord in a fuller and deeper way. And here's the bride. And she's describing her beloved. And she looks at him. And she describes him in this way. And then she finishes. And I always think of her as describing her beloved as best she can. And then she exhausts her vocabulary. She can't find any more words in which to describe, use to describe her beloved. So how does she conclude? She says, yea, he is altogether lovely. Altogether. She's saying, I find no fault in him. And I know him intimately. But I do not find any fault in him. My beloved is white and ruddy. He's the chiefest among 10,000. He's the chiefest among 10,000, and he's altogether lovely. That is my lovely Lord to you. She was definite. She gave her description. And then we have her delight. After exhausting her descriptive powers, she sums up everything by saying, "Yea, he is altogether lovely." Looking at the word lovely, he is altogether lovely. The word means that which is the object of desire. That which is the object of desire. So she looked at her beloved, and he was the object of her desire. She was overwhelmed by his loveliness. You know what it's like if you have any interest in flowers. And you see the beautiful rose blooming in a garden. You're naturally drawn to that rose. It is the beauty that draws you to it. So when the bride spoke about her beloved, she spoke about his loveliness. And that loveliness in him drew her to him. And everything about him she loved. Everything she desired, everything she needed, everything she wanted, she found in him. Such was her delight in him. We mentioned earlier on in the announcements about preaching on the Queen of Sheba. And when she heard about the wisdom of Solomon, she came to him. And when she came and saw all that was there and saw Solomon, she says, "Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me." And I guarantee you this day, if you come to Christ and you receive my beloved, my Savior, as your Savior, you know what you'll say? After a few weeks or a few months, you'll say, "Preacher, you didn't tell me the half of it. I find more joy and happiness in Christ than ever you were able to tell me." He is all together lovely. Our time is gone. We'll finish with the bride was answered about her beloved. We notice how the bride, after she had said, "This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem," verse 16, notice how the next chapter begins. The daughters of Jerusalem are now talking, and they say, "Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee?" She has spoken about her beloved. She has described him. As I have done today about my lovely Lord. Will the response be the same by someone here this morning? Will someone say to me, "Whither is thy beloved gone? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee?" She had done a good job. She had described well her beloved. And there you have the request. Whether is thy beloved gone? And then you have the response. The bride was able to tell them, my beloved has gone down into his garden to the bed of spices to feed in the garden and to gather lilies. I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. In other words, she was able to show them the way and where to find her beloved. I can show you the way today. I can point you to Christ. I can show you the way. Will you come and make the Lord Jesus your Savior? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our loving and gracious God, we thank Thee for the Word. We thank Thee, Lord, for the one who is our beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as the Father said of His Son, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And Lord, all who know Thee are well pleased as well. We're well pleased with Christ. Lord, write this word upon hearts today. And may some soul even today say, where is thy beloved gone, that we may seek him? Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore.